Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I'm living in Him. I'm hidden in Him. And I'm so glad that I have Him. Welcome to the house of the Lord. I'm glad that you're here today. And I'm excited about what God is doing in the midst of His people. I'm excited that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. It's exciting. You know, we have two congregations, kind of. And the congregation that's here right now, with everybody that's right now here, it's only five people less than what we had our first service in this building. And that's all we had. And now you come to second service and there's double the people that were here in the first service or more. So it's exciting that we're growing. And I'm glad that you're willing to take this journey with us to come to an early service. And I'm glad that our teachers have a place to come. And they're, thank you for our Sunday school teachers. Let's give them a hand. And thank you for our worship team. Let's give them a hand. They come to both services every Sunday. They practice on Tuesday nights. During the week, they work with each other and make sure that they're ready so they're on tune even if we aren't. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture this morning out of Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs is unique. Oftentimes, I'll read a verse of Scripture to you and then we'll talk about the context. And Proverbs is hard to talk about the context because it's like these sound bites. You know, it's like tweets. And you got to figure out, and you got to go back and watch their Twitter feed in order to figure out what he's talking about today, because there's just, he drops in a concept or a truth. And in the 29th chapter of Proverbs and verse number 18, it says, "Where there is no vision," everybody say no vision. "No vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he," where there is no vision. And today I want to preach the vision we need. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to say thank you to you because I have witnessed that you have caught the vision of Jesus. And so the vision of God that we're going to talk about today, it's not meant to bring condemnation or fear or say, oh no, am I doing it enough? It's to encourage us that we are engaged in the vision of God and we are doing it, and it motivates us more. The word vision in the Hebrew is chazon. It means a sight mentally that is a dream, a revelation, or an oracle. An oracle, by their terminology in the Hebrews, is a vision or a declaration by God. In other words, God speaks to an oracle. The oracle is the individual that delivers the message or the vision of God. You and I are the oracle of our generation. We are the ones that speak the vision of God. And I want to say at the outset, when we give the vision of God to our world, it's not a vision of condemnation, it's not a vision of judgment, but it's a vision of hope that we can give to our world and say, if you will submit to God, if you will follow His plan, your life will be so much better than it was without Him. Do I have a witness in the house that it's better now than what it used to be? Vision, the word commonly used in reference to the revelation of God's will, was made clear to the prophets. I'm not speaking of simply having the ability to see a shape or a tree or a color or the flowers. The words that you will hear today are not meant to remind us that we need to schedule an appointment with the optometrist or ophthalmologist. The message is not about physical eyesight, and I've talked to some of you recently. You have cataracts and you're having surgery, and when they do the surgery, oh, you can see a little better because that cloud is gone from your eye. And some people, they have macular degeneration, and if they catch it early, They can arrest it even if they can't reverse it. What the problem is when we totally lose the vision that God has for us and for our world, is recapturing that vision. I heard him tell this week of a man that now can see who's never been able to see in his life. Now he can't see clearly like you and I can, but they put a pair of glasses on him that are electronically controlled, and he can actually see shapes. And he can't see color. It's black and white. And so he's learning to identify those shapes. These declarations of fact and God's plan are for the salvation of humanity. And it's about vision. The contrast between sight and vision is really and readily apparent in the life of Fanny J. Crosby. She was a non-believer that was blind, that had a conversion experience, and her new birth experience revolutionized her life. Just like it did for you and I. We had our own vision and plan for our life, and we surrendered to God, and it was like, wow, I was going in the wrong direction. It was not because God healed her sightless eyes, and neither was it because she was given unusual powers of perception. But the blind woman began to see the world differently because of the visitation of the Spirit of God. In the great hymn, Blessed Assurance, Fanny wrote, we read a string of words that could be bewildering, but we who are born of God understand how she would write them in these old songs. It's verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. In the first verse, she said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. And we're all thankful for that. And then she says, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And then she repeats it. And then verse 2 is stunning because she says, perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is somebody who's never seen. Never even seen the drawing of the imagination of an individual that says, this is what an angel looks like. She says, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. The reason she could write those powerful words is because a vision is something that is planted in the heart of the individual or a group of individuals because of an intimate encounter with God. If you ever dream that your life could be something that it never was because God gave you that vision of what your life could be, yeah. Or even somebody else that you're reaching to try to let them understand the good things that God has, and they can't even see what they could be, but you see in your mind what they could be. Right. We need vision. We need vision from God. God has had a dream for a long time. He's lived with hopes of that dream being fulfilled, and he's ready to empower those of us who will help fulfill his dream. He's ready to embolden those who will commit to declare to the dream of God. Remember, and I'm not making a political statement, but when Martin Luther King Jr. said, I have a dream, he was sharing that dream, hopefully, that others would get that dream, that men would be one day judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And he laid down his life for that. Jesus was the same way. He's ready to provide miraculously for those who will commit time, talent, and finances to see that dream fulfilled. He's saying, will you buy into my vision or my dream? Will you join me in this? If you will, I will empower you in ways that you never could have been empowered by yourself. And it has been my prayer this week as I begin to address you, and God's been stirring me for the last couple weeks, and I don't know what I wanted to preach, but I wanted to just shout and woo-hoo, let's dance, let's have a good time. But God's been telling me, you need to remind my church what their purpose is. God, I've been praying, God, help me to communicate this vision. Help us to catch the vision, be moved by the vision, and be renewed in our passion to live out the vision. I want you, just for a moment, to think what it was that moved you down the path initially to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Was it an encounter with a person Likely it was somebody came to you cold and said, hey, I want to share something. Or you saw something in somebody's life and you wondered why. And they shared the change that God had brought in their life. God never gave a vision without an expected action. Because of, and I use two words today, dream and vision. And do we have any dreamers? Yeah, I won the lottery. Somebody just dumped a boatload of money in my account and paid off all of my mortgages. You know, we all have thoughts like that, right? You know, that I never have to cook anymore. Somebody's going to be my butler. Or somebody provided free yard service for your life. You know, those things that we kind of dream. But we know and understand that it's what we are involved in and participate in that really brings fulfillment to our life. And you can go on the internet and read it and see how many of these people that won the lottery are flat broke now or worse off than they were before they started. Because, or people that inherited great sums of money and then just wasted it all. Because it didn't give them purpose, it just gave them some kind of freedom. So when vision came to Jonah, the action was go preach. When vision was given to Noah about the coming of destruction, the action was building an ark. And when vision was given to Pharaoh and clarified by Joseph, the action was to store up supplies for this coming 7 years where there would be famine or lack. When vision was given to Zerubbabel, the action was to build the temple. When vision was given to Nehemiah, the action was to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And when vision was given to John the Baptizer, the action was he went everywhere preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it follows on with the original of the disciples. When they had a vision of God's intention, they went everywhere teaching and preaching. When vision was given to the first century church, the action was they went everywhere making disciples. And when vision was given to Paul, who had been Saul, he went and he preached the gospel and he taught everywhere he went. There was opposition to all who were moved to action by vision, but the vision pushed through the obstacles. These individuals, as we've named them, have become world changers, haven't they? Yes. Yes. You think about Jonah and Paul and Noah. They're all world changers because they had vision. They activated the vision and they gave legs to the purpose of God. None of these visionaries would have accomplished the vision without help. We don't do anything alone. We can't do this by ourselves. Noah's sons assisted him in building the ark, and the children of Israel gathered material and supplied labor and assisted Zerubbabel in building the temple, and an army of volunteers gave their time and energy and finance to assist Nehemiah in rebuilding the walls. It was a group effort by the original disciples to go everywhere teaching and preaching, and the vision that was given to the first century church brought them to action, and they went everywhere making disciples. In fact, when Jesus was here teaching, there was a group of individuals, the Bible says, that gave their all to him. The women supplied him finance, and Peter said, we've left all to follow you. Even Jesus couldn't get done what he needed to get done without the help of somebody else. And that doesn't mean that he was powerless. It was about a group effort. You and I are walking together through life, doing what God has called us to do. I commend you also. A couple Sundays ago, we went on outreach the Saturday before. There were two individuals that were here directly as a result of that outreach. There were four adult individuals that were here because you invited your coworkers. Isn't that cool? It's because we're working together to impact them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul was called to go preach, the existing church financed his mission. It will take a group effort to fulfill the vision of God for this assembly and this generation. I need you and you need me. And this is what's really cool. And I watch it sometimes, and I watched it even in the service today as we're worshiping somebody going and praying for somebody else. Why? Because the Holy Ghost says, go pray for them. So you do it. Why? Because God knows that you have something through His power that you can impart to that individual. And only you can do that, maybe. Because there's a place in time that it has to be done. Have you ever seen somebody or heard somebody say, you go tell them, no, you go tell them, you go tell them, no, you go tell them. I used to be a foreman, and one time we were co-foremen, and there were some things that Chris would just say, I can't tell him, you go tell him, Steve. And there were other things he says, I'll go tell him, he won't listen to you. Because there was the way in which we said it. God has a purpose for you and I. Now, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip up on us and say, hey, you know, we're doing a horrible job. No, let's just do what God asked us to do when He asked us to do it. And as we do, we were fulfilling His vision. You know, the Bible doesn't name any of the people that were building the wall. It just names Zerubbabel that helped them and motivated them, or Nehemiah. It doesn't name the individual craftsman that rebuilt the temple, but it does name this one individual named Zerubbabel. It is hopefully now very clear why the inspired word of God declared in Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. In other words, if there's not action, the people perish. Vision is a dream with legs. It's a dream with plans. Vision is action. Vision demands action. And even as we said, the vision of God demanded that He take action. For God so loved the world that He sat on a fluffy cloud in the heavens and said, I hope they get saved. For God so loved the world that He thought real hard about it and used mind over matter and thought, if I think hard enough, they're saved, they'll be saved. No, that action was God came in flesh. For God so loved the world that He gave. Jesus, God in the flesh, came to earth with vision. That vision was to fulfill the will of His Father. As we have said before, He said, the words that I speak, I don't speak of myself, but of Him that sent me. The deeds that I do of not of myself, but of Him that sent me. The vision moved Christ to action. The divinely inspired God-moved action was to shown forth in His reaching out to Zacchaeus. Remember little Zacchaeus? He's the short guy and he wants to know Jesus and he can't see Him, and Jesus is coming in to the city where he's at and he can't see, so he climbs up in the sycamore tree. And I've studied that, and the sycamore tree is about 15 feet tall. It's like one of those plum trees down on the boulevard. So he climbs up in there and pushes the branches aside because he said, I'm too short to see, but because I have a desire or a vision, I'm going to put action to it. I want to know Jesus, so I'm going to get as close as I can and at least see Him, and maybe He'll see me. So Zacchaeus climbs the tree, but Zacchaeus, in order to be saved, Jesus comes and says, hey, how are you doing up there? It's like, this is a guy, he's in his business suit. He's a tax collector that everybody hates anyway. And then he climbs up in a tree and he becomes a laughingstock. He puts himself at risk. Again, it's not about who he is. It's not about his ego. It's about he wants to see what Jesus can do for him. And Jesus stops and he says, come down. I want to go to your house. So and now here we are with vision. He has to climb up to see. He has to come down to hear. And then he invites Jesus to his home. And then he has to sell all and follow Jesus in order to have salvation. You see, our relationship with God is not static. It can't be just past tense. Our relationship with God cannot be all on Him. God demands action from us. Most relationships are that way. It's like somebody says, well, nobody calls me. Well, have you ever called anybody? Well, I miss people and they don't call me and tell me they miss me. Well, have you called them to tell you them you miss them? And I have some relatives and I'm not making... Well, never mind. Don't feel bad if you're the one that's always reaching out. That's just the way life is, right? Some people don't even think about it. Just like when COVID struck and they said everybody has to stay inside, all of the people that don't like people said, "Oh, wow, this is wonderful." I have a pastor friend and he's an introvert. I'm an extrovert. My brother's an introvert. He stayed home and he studied for weeks and prepared lessons for months ahead. And I'm going, "I can't wait to get out of the house." And I have one friend, he said, "Steve," he says, "Yeah." I said, "What'd you do today?" He says, "Well, I went to the studio. I got up from the living room and walked to my bedroom that I've converted to a studio at a long trip." He says, "You know me, I'm an introvert, and this is starting to drive me crazy." But people are, we're all built different, and so we respond to one another different, and we respond to life different, and Jesus knows that. But he said, "Hey, if you want to change in your life, Zacchaeus, you got to come down, and I've got to have a conversation with you at your house." You see, this God of vision and of action made the following observation about the religious Jews who had no active relationship with God. Now, we know there's people that go to work, and those of you that have worked in corporations, there's some people that just show up for the paycheck, and there's some people that want to make the company better. And some companies do a good job of selling vision, and some don't. And you know, some people, they're just going to show up because they have to, because if they don't, their wife's going to kick them out because they didn't bring a paycheck home. And there's others that enjoy their work. And Jesus was looking at the religious people that day. And in Matthew 15 and 13, he said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." The religious leaders of Jesus' day had no vision. They had information, but they had no idea of what to do with it. They had the facts, but they didn't have the passion. And this thing, this relationship with Jesus and this purpose that he has for us is not just about having initial salvation and say, "Okay, that's good enough for me, I'm safe." No, there's something he saved us for, not just from. And there's something he saved us to do, not just to escape from. So when there is no vision, there's stagnation and starvation and confusion and frustration and blindness and stumbling. And Jesus just said, "Let the blind lead the blind. They'll both fall into the ditch." In other words, these group of people had no desire to have change in their life. And God just says, "Leave them alone." There are some people that really don't want Jesus, because they don't want to be challenged and they don't want to be changed. That's not your responsibility or mine to change them, but we can witness to them. But when they say not interested, then we move on to somebody that is interested. I mean, say you had a project to do in your house and the contractors came by and one of them just never called you back with a bid. Would you keep bugging him and saying, "How much will you do this for?" No, it's just like, "Move on, Jack. I mean, I don't have time for this." Several years ago, I had a big project in my backyard of building a wall and some steps and stuff. And I could only get two contractors to call me back out of about 15 that I called. So I just washed those off and I took the best one that I thought that I had. God's that way. He'll move on. It's not like he doesn't care. But if you're not interested, I'm not going to spend my whole life trying to convince you. So I want to tell you and I is that it's not our job to go try to convince these people that don't want to be convinced. It's our job to live our life out loud before our world and they can see us and say, "How can you have peace in the midst of this turmoil? How can you say everything? Things going to be all right with me when all of this chaos is going on? How can you have confidence that you're going to live and not die when there's a pandemic?" Right. You know, there's something about our faith in God and our confidence in God where there is no vision, the pursuit of God becomes ritual. Where there's no vision, there is certainty of failure and spiritual famine and spiritual bondage. And the scripture said, the people perish. Above, all the above applied to the generation that Jesus arrived on the scene to minister to. Have you met people that just don't seem to care if there is even a God? They're not interested. They're not your responsibility. The people that are hungry are your responsibility. The people that are searching are your responsibility, are my responsibility. The Young's literal translation of Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, a people is made naked, and whoso is keeping the law, oh, his happiness. The people are naked. They're exposed. Unless you and I reach to them, they're exposed to the wiles of the enemy. They're exposed to all that could destroy them. And with this in mind, we understand the statement of Jesus to his disciples in John 8:12. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you're out in the woods and you get lost and it's dark at night, who are you going to follow? The guy with or without the flashlight? My choice is really, really simple. It's the guy with the flashlight. There's a light and it makes a difference. I remember we were out hunting one time and it was out in Eastern Oregon, and it was in the Starkey unit, and one of the guys just wasn't coming back. Thankfully, we had two-way radios, and Roger, where are you at? I'm over here. I'm in the gully. I see your fire. And he says, we don't have any fire. Uh-oh. I'm lost. No, you need to go here, Roger. You need to go there. You need to go there. And then we all lit up our flashlights, and he could see a rose spread apart of the flashlight. When he saw the light, he knew where to come to. Now he had his own flashlight. And the people that are seeking and searching, they will find it. The light of life leads to salvation from sin, and the byproduct of that action yields another wonderful gift of God, and it's declared in John 10:10, and I know I've read this dozens of times. The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I come that they may have life, and they may have it to the full. Jesus came so they could have a better life. We've got to realize that our world is not looking for judgment. They're looking for hope. They're not looking for somebody to control their life, although we've got to submit to Jesus Christ. But when they see and know that you and I used to go to bed in fear, but now we don't anymore. We used to be addicted to our anger or our pornography or some other substance, but now it holds no hold on us. They're going to go, hey, that's what I want. I want freedom from that. I don't want to be grabbed by that. I want life more abundant. No wonder we read in chapter number 29 of Proverbs, verse 18. Listen to the New Living Translation. But when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is happy. As we can tell people, I'm happier than I was. I'm freer than I was. I'm saved. I'm confident. Why? Because I know I'm not just living for now. There's a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But my life now is better than it was then. So thank you, God, for that. So the vision that moved Christ to action has yielded a result of our lives being full. Now, I've talked to you as individuals as sometimes, and I know where you used to be, and I know where you're at today. And here's the crazy thing. Some of you I've known for 15 years, and all of a sudden you come up with a new story that tells me what it used to be like. Because you're so far from what you used to be that it's hard for me to even picture you like you used to be. It's like the before and after photo is I lost 80 pounds, you know, or I gained 80 pounds. You know, it's like, look at my first driver's license, you know, not anymore. Look at what I used to be. Look at where I used to be. But oh, Jesus has given me a full life, and I'm so thankful for it. So God's vision for humanity is the good life. God's vision for humanity is all of our needs supplied. That's why he put man in a garden with everything that he needed. That's what God's intention was. And so when we act upon the vision, we will witness freedom from stagnation and starvation and confusion. We'll have direction. We'll have clarity. We'll no longer be stumbling in the night and feel like we're just trapped in this religious ritual. What a horrible thing to just come to church and say the same thing every time and do the same thing every time, hoping that maybe God hears us. But how wonderful it is to come into the presence of God and worship Him and feel His presence come and fill us with hope and goodness. And don't be ashamed to give way to that, however you express that. And I know we're not all the same. Some people cry and some people laugh at the same time, you know. Isn't it? Some people get nervous and they laugh every time they're nervous. And you say, that's not funny. Well, the same thing it is when we come to worship Jesus. I remember there was a guy, Brother Gibbler, he'd cry every time he was in church. And finally I said, why are you crying, Bill? And he says, because I'm so happy, because I used to get up in the morning and sneak out of the bed so I wouldn't wake Betsy up, so I could go to the pub and I could drink Jack Daniels all day. See, I don't know what it is. He says, I'd sneak out and go drink my hard liquor and smoke my cigars. He says, but now I don't want that and I'm free. And I get up in the morning and I just want to spend time with Jesus. And I'm just so happy. And his response, his expression was tears. But some of us are joy and gladness and we've got to give one another that freedom. But our life is full. When we act upon vision, we witness freedom from failure because we are no longer failures and we no longer are in spiritual bondage. We're not living in guilt and fear that our past will catch us or that the tomorrow is going to be worse than yesterday was. We've been empowered. And so God says, my vision is that people have a word from me for their life. Now everybody hears different, right? Everybody communicates different. I've heard people say, well, God spoke to me. What did it sound like? And everybody, when God speaks to them, it's just a little bit different. But God came so you and I could commit to go tell others what Jesus has done for us. And if you'd stand with me, I'd ask you and I, are we willing to give legs to our vision? And today, when we conclude in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask us if we can just come and thank God that we can be a part of His vision. You're already committed to the vision. It's not come to say, oh God, I'm part of this. No, thank you God, I'm part of this. You know, people get kind of swept up in things that are happening and they don't even realize how big the thing is that they're a part of until all of a sudden it's done. It's just like NASA when they're saying, we're going to go to the moon and we're going to put a man in space. And that each person's just a little part of the process. And if everybody does their jobs right, and as we know, we saw the one Apollo blew up because the O-rings were bad. One little part brought failure, but one little part can keep failure from happening. And today, the dream that we have been dreaming is that more people will come to know Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. Is there anyone that just wants to step out and say, thank you, Jesus, that you've made me a part of this? That I can be a part of this. And I know we go on outreach and we need to go knock on doors and we need to hand out flyers. And this month we're going to go sing on the waterfront or sing on the street corner and tell people about God, Jesus and what He's done for us. But is there anybody that's just so thankful that you have a purpose beyond yourself now?
God, my job isn't just to get up and go make money so I can die rich and leave it to my kids that are going to waste it on a new car. No. But God, you've given me a vision. I've grabbed onto it. And I've been able to go tell people, hey, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live in fear. Let's come thank God for allowing us to be a part of that. Thank you, Jesus, for freeing me. Thank you for including me. Thank you, Jesus, that I've been able to...